Help me, doctor, something's wrong. I can't shake it, it's gone too far. He said, tell me what your symptoms are. He said, my hands are sweaty and my knees are weak. I can't eat and I can't sleep. It's turning me every way but loose. He said, it sounds like love's got a hold on you. No doubt love's got a hold on you. I was settling down. No more of this running round. Looked at me like I was a fool and said, come on, tell us what's wrong with you. Said my hands are sweaty and my knees are weak. I can't eat and I can't sleep. It's turning me every way but blue.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. Inauguration day now 1 week away. President-elect Trump will be sworn into office for a second term. Homeland Security naming presidential inaugurations as a national special security event. Matt McCool, a special agent in charge for the Secret Service in D.C.
This designation allows the federal government, along with our state and local partners, to use all available resources to implement a comprehensive security plan.
Senate confirmation hearings, meantime, getting underway this week for more than a dozen of President-elect Trump's key cabinet nominees. In Southern California, fire crews and residents bracing for another round of gale and hurricane-force winds. Firefighters are racing to gain control over the Eaton and Palisades fires, blamed for at least two dozen deaths. Apple resisting demands for the company to end its diversity, equity, and inclusion programs, also known as DEI initiatives. And a tsunami warning has been lifted after an earthquake in southwestern Japan earlier. This is ABC News. The Supreme Court may uphold a congressional ban on TikTok by January 19th unless its Chinese owners sell the video sharing site over national security concerns.
A majority of the justices during arguments Friday seemed likely to uphold a law banning the app in less than a week. Creators are now pleading with fans to follow them elsewhere.
Go follow me. You can find me on other platforms.
President-elect Trump has promised to save the video sharing app, and there are a few ways that could potentially happen. Trump could order the Justice Department not to enforce the ban, but tech companies may not feel comfortable breaking the law. Trump could also push Congress to repeal the law, but it passed with broad bipartisan support.
ABC's Nicole D'Antonio. The ban on cell phones in schools is apparently working. School officials in Connecticut report measurable improvements in students' grades, attendance, and behavior. One high school saw a 7% drop in chronic absences since the ban took effect. Michelle Franzen, ABC News.
This is a story of the one. As a maintenance specialist for university housing, he knows college students can major in wear and tear. Plus, housing so many students doesn't leave a lot of room to house all the supplies he needs. That's where Grainger comes in. With over a million industrial-grade products and fast, dependable delivery, Grainger carries the quality products he needs so he doesn't have to. From a new door hinge to a whole new faucet. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Progressive presents a testimonial of sorts.
Hey, slow down!
Oh yeah? Well, you drive like my grandma! She's a very attentive and courteous driver who wears a seatbelt and always uses her turn signals. She's also a talented painter and has very low cholesterol. Not that that has anything to do with her drive, we just thought a more complete picture of who she is might be interesting. Anyway, have a nice day!
Safe driver? Get Snapshot from Progressive and get a personalized rate based on how you drive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Snapshot not available in California or from all agents. Surcharge possible for unsafe driving.
Wisconsin Radio Network News. I'm Ted Ayler. Governor Tony Evers declares an energy emergency in Wisconsin.
Evers signed an executive order on Thursday due to challenges with severe weather around the country that has impacted distribution of residential heating fuels, including heating oil and propane. The emergency declaration will allow for a 30-day waiver of certain state and federal hours of service restrictions to allow suppliers to get caught up from weather-related delays. Evers said in a statement that Winter Storm Blair has impacted residents and industries alike across the country. Bob Haig, Wisconsin Radio Network.
A Republican member of the State Building Commission wants the UW to track the approximately 60% of College of Engineering students from out of state.
Whether the UW system or UW-Madison could track, given the size of this investment, what percentage of those graduates are living and working in the state of Wisconsin 2 years, 5 years after graduation.
State Senator Andre Jacques said about a third of those students are from outside the U.S. Jacques was a no vote Friday when the seven-member commission voted to give final approval to a new engineering building on the UW-Madison campus. The Philip A. Levy Engineering Center is expected to be ready for classes in fall 2028, with a final cost of more than $419 million. Details are few and far between regarding the death of a 50-year-old Tomahawk man.
The man suffered some sort of chest injury Thursday night and showed shortness of breath before he was rushed to a Lincoln County hospital in a private vehicle. He died sometime later. Officers arrested a 43-year-old woman in connection with the death, but won't release any further information as the investigation continues. Mike Leishner, Wisconsin Radio Network.
Real Country 1430 WRDN reminds you to shop our area businesses in the listening area first. From Durand, Mondovi, Wabasha, Ellsworth, Alma, and everywhere in between, find the products and services you need all at affordable prices. You know, these local businesses offer personal service you just don't get at box stores. Shopping locally first not only supports our friends and neighbors, but also supports you. Our local businesses contribute to many school and civic organizations. They provide jobs and they help strengthen our economies. Shop locally first. This reminder from Real Country 1430 WRDN.
Here's your Real Country 1430 forecast.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlau. Sunny and cold today, with high temperatures only tapping the single digits and winds blustery, gusting up to 25 miles per hour, making our wind chills feel sub-zero all day long. And a few flurries fly around late with no accumulations expected. Grandpa's Barbecue Sauce, made in small batches from Grandpa's original recipe. Get yours now at grandpasbbqshop.com. It's 3 degrees at our studios.
This is AM 1430 WRDN, Durand Mondovi at Wabasha. The following program was pre-recorded.
Trend stays colder than normal into the end of the month. We'll get the details of the weather outlook. And the Treasury Department on Friday did release guidance for 45Z, but it was very preliminary. Let's figure out what the guidance is missing.
Live from Monday the 13th, via Farm Journal broadcast, this is AgriTalk. This morning we begin with an extended weather conversation with Brett Waltz from BAM WX. Then it's Donnell Rehagen from Clean Fuels Alliance America. I'm handsome newsman Davis Michelson. And now, here's the host of AgriTalk, Chip Lorre.
All right, Davis. Hey, thank you and welcome to AgriTalk. For those of you looking for machinery, Pete, he's traveling today. Don't worry about it. We're going to get him back on here hopefully sometime this week, and we will get you an update from Machinery Pete, but just not today. Welcome. Yeah. Man, how was your weekend? Everything good, dude?
I got to send a shout-out to the good folks of Gardner, Kansas.
Gardner, Kansas.
I played a piano show there on Saturday night. It was so much fun. The people were so great. We had a terrific time. And I will say, pretty good tippers, too. Thank you, Gardner, Kansas. Massive shout-out today for them. Yeah. It brightened my whole weekend. It was a great time.
I'm guessing if the tips were flowing, then you were having to reach pretty deep into your library of lyrical knowledge keep that going.
I did, but they were very appreciative of it. You know, they did the let me, and everything. Yeah. They knew it all. It was great.
That's cool.
Good times. That's so I'm fired up. I'm
fantastic. Man, it's fun when the good groove, the good vibe from the weekend can carry on into Monday morning, isn't it?
It really is. I wish I could put it in a bottle.
Man, oh, man. Well, I'll admit, I'm still feeling a little bit good about that win for the Cyclones down at Texas Tech on Saturday.
I think you should. Congratulations.
That was pretty doggone cool, getting a road win against a really good team. In conference play is really, really fun. So, and then we got to celebrate my grandson Brooks's birthday.
Oh, there you go.
And the birthday theme just continues right on into today. So happy birthday to my beautiful bride.
Oh, happy birthday, Mrs. Chip.
Yes. Yeah, she's 29 again. I'll bet.
Wow.
Yeah. It's pretty amazing. Pretty amazing.
At you radio hosts get all the gals, don't you?
Yeah. At least that's what I'm told. All right, man. We're going to talk about the longer term and the development of what's the ENSO status? Is La Nina developing? We're going to get to the bottom line of that with Brett Waltz and then this 45Z. Good grief, Davis. We've got to dig in and really figure out what's not in the guidance that we got from the Treasury Department and what is needed for the industry to have some clarity moving forward. And so we'll get that from Donnell Rehagen, the Clean Fuels Alliance America, coming up bottom of the hour.
Well, I don't know anything about that, but I can tell you it does feel like, you know, La Nina, El Nino. It feels like we're in an Enzo Loco period right now. I don't know if that's a distinction or not.
Crazy weather.
Maybe Brett can kind of unravel that for us a little bit.
We will ask the question, yes.
Yep. I'll bring up the National Weather Service short-term outlook here. Critical to extremely critical fire weather conditions. Still forecast for coastal Southern California through Wednesday. Moderate to locally strong Santa Ana winds expected. Particularly dangerous situation. Red flag warnings have been issued there. Across the Great Lakes, heavy lake effect snow is expected downwind of Lakes Erie and Ontario this afternoon into late Wednesday night. Chip, currently here in Kansas City, we're 12 degrees and sunny, headed for a high all the way up to 23 today, baby.
Yeah, 9 degrees and mostly sunny here. So it's we are cold and expected to stay cold for a couple of days, but we'll get the details here in just a bit from Brett.
Yep. Well, private exporters report sales of 198,000 metric tons of soybeans for delivery to China during the 24-25 marketing year. The U.S. exported 643.5 million pounds of pork in November. I bring it up because it's a record for the month and the highest monthly tally since April. Some decent demand in November to report, Chip.
You would think that the pork demand is going up because maybe beef demand, export demand is starting to pull back. But beef export demand was really good at the end of last year as well. So it's just protein demand around the globe.
Well, Chip, China's trade surplus surged to an all-time high in 2024 at $992 billion, driven by a 7.1% rise in merchandise exports. This marked the eighth consecutive year of export growth in China, fueled by strong overseas demand for electric vehicles, batteries, and solar panels.
Yeah, when President-elect Trump sees that number, what do you think his thoughts are regarding tariffs? His thoughts are we need to get a piece of that $992 billion in trade surplus.
Yep. Well, President Joe Biden today will deliver a foreign policy speech from the State Department highlighting his administration's efforts to strengthen America and lead the world. President-elect Donald Trump, meanwhile, his cabinet nominees are set to testify before the Senate this week as Republicans aim to secure their confirmations shortly after the January 20 inauguration.
Process is moving very, very quickly. Got to stay on top of it.
Well, the Biden administration approved a $1.44 billion loan guarantee for Calumet to expand its renewable fuels plant in Great Falls, Montana. Announced by the Energy Department, the financing will support the production of sustainable aviation fuel, renewable diesel, and renewable naphtha using vegetable oils, fats, and greases. Brazil's soybean harvest reached 0.3% as of last Thursday, according to Ag Rural. That's 2 percentage points behind this date last year. The firm says there's strong yield potential in central Brazil, though rains are hindering harvest activity. And if that continues, it could hurt crop quality, heat and moisture stress, a concern in far southern Brazil. I imagine Brett Waltz will have some thoughts on South American weather. Yep.
We'll get to the details there. Yep.
Excellent. Well, in 2024, China imported a record 105.03 million metric tons of soybeans, up 6.5% from the previous year. A lot of that came from South America, though, didn't it, Chip?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, that's the increase came from South America. And for the year ahead, China says that they're going to figure out a way to increase their production so that they don't have to rely so heavily on imports.
Well, China announced more tools to support its weak currency on Monday, unveiling plans to pump more dollars into Hong Kong to bolster the yuan and to improve capital flows by allowing companies to borrow more from overseas. Outgoing Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau announced that Canada is prepared to impose retaliatory tariffs. That's if President-elect Donald Trump initiates a trade war. Speaking on MSNBC, Trudeau stressed that Canada prefers cooperation, but will act decisively to protect its economy if the U.S. imposes tariffs. And let's run the table on the USMCA. Mexican President Claudia Sheinbaum, addressing a crowd in Mexico City ahead of Donald Trump's inauguration as president, declared that Mexico remains a, quote, free, independent, and sovereign country. And she vowed to maintain strong but respectful ties with its northern neighbor. Chip?
Yeah. Strong and respectful ties throughout the North America seems like a pretty good idea.
I like it a lot.
I like it a lot. Grow together. Let's do that. All right. We are talking weather next here on AgriTalk. We've got Brett Waltz, BAMWX on AgriTalk.
This little piggy went to market. This little piggy stayed home. But if just one little piggy catches African swine fever, piggies everywhere will be in danger. African swine fever is highly contagious and fatal. It could wipe out America's pig population. That's why the USDA is urging pig producers, farmers, and veterinarians to know the signs of African swine fever. Learn more by searching Protect Our Pigs at USDA.gov.
Mark your calendars now for Total Acres 2025 Grower Clinic. Join the Total Acre team for 3 great days of learning and networking, January 19th to the 21st at the family-friendly Renaissance Orlando at SeaWorld. With more than 20 immersive breakout sessions and an extensive trade show, it's your chance to network with other Total Acre members from 23 states and Canada. Head online to growbigcrops.com/grower-clinic-registration today to register.
Help maximize your yield potential and savings with 0% financing on leading fungicides from BASF. You can't beat 0%, especially when you could save big on consistent performing fungicides like Revilock fungicide and Veltima fungicide until March 15th, 2025. 0% financing means keeping more in your wallet for better ROI. Talk to your BASF retailer today about the Grower Finance Program. Subject to credit approval, terms and conditions. See BASF Grower Finance Program for details. Always read and follow label directions.
Elevate your game and set your sights on Denver for the 2025 Commodity Classic. With technology that moves faster than fluctuating markets and information as important as a million-dollar rain, Commodity Classic is designed for growers of all kinds, where you'll broaden your horizons as you improve yield and ROI one bushel at a time. Take your operation to new heights and join us for Elevating Excellence in Agriculture, March 2nd through 4th in Denver. Learn more at commodityclassic.com.
Farming is dangerous.
Compeer Financial helped us get into our forever home.
They helped me expand more than acreage.
And helped our dairy grow for the next generation.
At Compeer Financial, we see potential in every plan. Our unique perspective finds solutions to your challenges. And our specially trained financial team guides you every step of the way. Partner with us to make your goals possible. Compeer.com. Compeer Financial ACA is an equal opportunity lender and equal opportunity provider. NMLS number 619731, copyright 2019, all rights reserved.
Life is better with American Family Insurance because our agents provide specialized local expertise to help you get the right coverage at the right price. We understand that dairy farming is at the heart of what you do, and we want to help protect what you've worked so hard for. Let's build the policy your dairy farm deserves.
Contact Paul Slusher, your American Family Insurance agent serving Durand and Chippewa Falls.
American Family Mutual Insurance Company, SI, and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
AgriTalk is brought to you by FBN Finance, simplifying land loans to help family farms build a stronger financial future. Visit FBN.com/AgriTalk.
Welcome back to AgriTalk. I'm Chip. Glad that you're with us on this Monday morning. You know, Davis, I meant to mention, we're seeing some follow-through buying in the grain markets to Friday's gains.
Yeah.
Very important.
We didn't even talk about the markets just then, did we?
No, but corn's up 3 to 5 cents. We've got soybeans up 18, 19, 20, 21 cents. Yeah. So things are looking pretty good there. Wheat is moving to the upside as well, 4 to 10 cents higher, we'll call it. And believe it or not, soybean meal and bean oil moving in the same direction. So
peek over there at crude oil real quick, would you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Ooh.
This is edging up toward $80 here pretty quick. The Feb's up 232 right now at last report, 78.89. Just saying.
Yeah. Yep. Keep an eye on that. No question about it. All right. Weather and how we are going to have to, what we're going to have to deal with here between now and the end of the month, I think is a big topic of discussion out there. And we're going to get the details right now. Brett Waltz, BAMWX.com. Good morning, Brett.
Hey, good morning, Chip. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, I'm glad you're here, man. Shot of cold air between now and the end of the month, right in the middle of the country. Dude, this looks kind of gnarly.
Yeah, so, you know, we have some ups and downs before we get to that. A little bit of shot of some cold middle of this week. Then we get some false relief, if you will, for a couple of days late this week. But, man, the cold shot ramping up as we get into early next week, probably for areas across the north central U.S., the coldest air of the season so far. A lot of the cold so far this year has come in a little bit further east. This time it will be more across the central part of the country. And, you know, we're going to have below zero temperatures, pretty widespread, I think, as we go into early next week across the north central part of the country in the upper Midwest.
Yeah, yeah. What about precip to come along with it? Is it just going to be cold, or is there a shot of snow coming too?
Yeah, I think at least to start, what happens is we get some of these pesky light snow events across the middle of the country. I think the better risk for bigger winter storms will probably, at least to start, once again, be more across the south and east U.S. I think the better threat for that coming north will be more towards the very end of January and probably more so into February. I think that winter storm track that's been more south throughout January starts to shift a little bit further north, but I think it's more so into February than it is this month.
Okay. All right. Yeah, and when you say cold temperatures, you're not screwing around with this. I mean, a week from today, we could have a high below zero a week from today, right?
I think so, yeah. I think that as we get into Monday and Tuesday of next week, I wouldn't even be shocked if you get below zero highs down into Kansas, Missouri, Illinois, Indiana, and then up where you're at, you could be looking at high temperatures, you know, -7 to -10, and even colder than that just to your north.
These are the highs you're talking about here? You could get highs below zero? That sounds low to me, Brett.
It will be very low highs.
Okay, fair enough.
Yep, and which means even lower lows. I mean, lows into the mid-teens below zero, right?
Yeah, I think so. I think that you're going to be seeing up into the northern plains temperatures in the -20s, perhaps. You could have some temperatures into the -10s where you're at. It's going to be very chilly.
Well, there's the first biggest understatement of 2025. It's going to be pretty chilly.
Yes, indeed.
All right. So what's the ENSO status right now, Brett? What's driving this?
Yeah, so we're feeling right now finally starting to get some more La Niña-like conditions to develop. But honestly, I think what's driving this is the polar vortex. This year, we've had a very stretched polar vortex in the northern hemisphere, which is common in these weak La Niña type of years. If you go back to 2014, that was a cool neutral event, but it allowed for other things in the northern hemisphere to have a bigger impact on the pattern, like the polar vortex. And I see a lot of similarities to that year right now. Not quite as cold, not quite as snowy, but January right now, you know, for the energy markets, is looking to be the coldest that it's been since 2014. For the U.S. as a whole, which is kind of crazy to think about.
Yeah, 10 years ago already. Good grief. So this is nothing to screw around with, guys. This is a legitimate shot of legitimate cold air coming our way, and we need to prep for this. So what's the situation in southern Brazil? You know, I was trying to get a little worked up about the dry conditions in southern Brazil and Argentina. Is it anything to be too concerned about, Brett?
Yeah, you know, the next 10 days, I do have some concerns. It's going to be pretty hot, and it will be pretty dry in those areas. And so if areas that are struggling down there right now, the next 10 days, it's not going to get any better. However, I do see more rain potential developing across southern and southeast Brazil, Paraguay, northern Argentina, to close January and to start February. I think that there could be some relief in there. And while that happens, central Brazil, which has been very wet and will continue to be wet the next 10 days, probably sees a little bit of a relax in some of the heavier precipitation.
Okay. All right. So there's some conditions down there that we need to watch, but it sure doesn't feel like it's a red flag. It feels more like, let's just keep an eye on this.
Very much so. I think it's a, you know, Argentina, southern Brazil, in terms of dryness, it's, you know, let's watch to see how much rain we can get at the end of this month. I do think that it's important that we do get some of that rain, but yeah, it's not like a, you know, doom and gloom type of forecast down okay there.
All right. All right. Very good. What does all this mean for, you know, out 30 days, out 45 days, into the early days of what we hope will be spring? What does all this mean?
In terms of North America or South America? Just
North America, there. North America.
North America,
yes.
Yeah. So I think ultimately how February evolves is the pattern across the central U.S. probably remains pretty cold. I think that what we've dealt with in the east for most of the winter so far, which has been these cold shots of air, I think that's more prevalent in the central part of the country as we go through February. And unfortunately, looking out, you know, unfortunately, if you don't like the cold and the snow, I think that it could linger around into spring longer than what we've dealt with in recent memory. You know, last year was an early onset to spring. It was a little bit warmer, a little bit drier. I think this year's the opposite. I think that we could linger onto the cold longer, and I think that we could deal with winter a little bit longer this year across the middle of the country.
Okay. Along the Mississippi River, of course, we're looking to get a recharge in there to make shipping a bit easier. Are we going to get snow up in the headwaters to recharge that Mississippi or not?
I think so. I think into February, the storm track does start to shift a little bit further to the north. In fact, just earlier this morning, Michael and I were plotting some analogs. You know, I wouldn't say super snowy across the northern plains in Nebraska, but I think more opportunities, Minnesota, Iowa, Illinois, Wisconsin, and into those areas, and not as bad for South Dakota, North Dakota, Nebraska in terms of snow departure from normal. And so I do think that there are more opportunities in there the further into February that we go.
Okay. All right. So as you and Michael were having the conversation, did you stretch it out to what kind of patterns we might be looking at once we do get to spring?
Yeah, so as I kind of mentioned earlier, I think that the winter hangs on into March. Yeah. I think that March can be a colder month. I also think that spring could start on a more active note, especially across the Central Plains and the Ohio Valley. The area that I'm a little concerned about for lack of moisture would be the Northern Plains. That's an area that's still dealing with some drought conditions, and while I don't think it's a warm start to spring, I don't necessarily think it's super active up there. And I think late spring, we could start to trend towards a warmer and a drier pattern heading into summer, which would be some cause for concern for those areas still dealing with the drought conditions.
Now, and when you say that warmer and drier pattern, are we looking at the western Corn Belt, central, eastern?
Yeah, I think you're looking more at the western and central Corn Belt in terms of those concerns. I think eastern Corn Belt, while maybe you deal with too much precipitation at times to start out the spring, could maybe be some plant delays with the colder and the wetter start. I think the further into the season we go, you know, I don't have major concerns at this time. Those are some areas that got very dry late in the fall. I think it's, again, a little bit more of an opposite pattern into the spring.
Gotcha. Gotcha. All right, Brett, man, oh, man, that gives us a lot to think about and look forward to. But first and foremost is no joking around on this cold snap that moves in this weekend, right?
Yeah, for sure. It's going to be super cold. I think I may have misspoke about the highs. It won't be negative 10 for the high up where you're at. It'll be a little warmer than that. I think I was looking at lows. But
okay.
Regardless, negative 10, negative 15 for low temperatures, that's nothing to shy away from.
Boy, you got that right. You got that right. All right, Brett Waltz, BAMWX.com. We're going to talk 45Z. Donnell Rehagen next.
Mark your calendars now for Total Acres 2025 Grower Clinic. Join the Total Acre team for 3 great days of learning and networking, January 19th to the 21st at the family-friendly Renaissance Orlando at SeaWorld. With more than 20 immersive breakout sessions and an extensive trade show, it's your chance to network with other Total Acre members from 23 states and Canada. Head online to growbigcrops.com/growerclinicregistration today to register.
It's in the Ad Council.
Want to get smarter and have some fun while you're at it? Introducing Unscripted and Grow Getters, two of agriculture's most entertaining and engaging podcasts. Hosted by U.S. Farm Report's Tyne Morgan and Ag Day's Clinton Griffiths, Unscripted is your chance to meet the personalities behind the personalities. And with heart and humor, Grow Getters with host Davis Michelson explores ag's most innovative side hustles. You can find Unscripted and Grow Getters on the Farm Journal YouTube channel or wherever you get your podcasts.
Roots. We plant them, we feed them. They are the foundation. This is Matthew with Bluff Country Feed and Seed. We support our customers through quality feed, seed, fertilizer, and most of all, service. We know Bluff Country because we live here. At Bluff Country, we understand the importance of community and the relationships we build. Our commitment is to provide you with top quality products and the service you deserve. Strong roots make for thriving communities. Plant your roots with Bluff Country Feed and Seed.
Double-digit gains in the milk markets with this WRDN market update. I'm Brian Winnekins. At the Mercantile Exchange, February milk up 40 to 2067, March up 42 to 2038, April up 32 to 1993, May milk up 21 at 1948. Meanwhile, live and feeder cattle markets moving mostly lower today. We do have some higher corn markets, and plus the trade is not really wanting to move the cattle markets too high until we do see some higher cash markets later on this week. Hog markets are moving mostly higher. The trade pleased with the uptick in demand as some of the pork cutoff values moving higher, with hams being 474 higher and ribs 473 higher. February live cattle down 82 cents to 197.95. January feeder cattle still up 2 cents to 272.37. February hogs up 92 cents to 83.47. Chicago Board of Trade, corn, soybeans, and wheat all moving mostly higher as the trade consolidates the gains from the very bullish WASDE report from last Friday, along with strength in some of the outside markets, including energy markets, really helping to support the market. March corn up 4.25 to 474.75. New crop up 5 to 455.25. January beans up 21.75 to 1035.25. New crop up 9.75 to 1040.75. March wheat up 11.75.
Tax season is here. Don't pay more than you have to. Let the experienced tax professionals at Sundstrom & Company in downtown Durand help you explore ways you can save money on your taxes. Sundstrom & Company works with farms, corporations, family-owned businesses, and individuals to make your tax headaches disappear. Call or visit Sundstrom today for an appointment at their Main Street Durand location next to the Courier Wedge. Sundstrom & Company, local accountants providing quality tax and financial management since 1980.
Just like you, Cenex Premium Diesel is no stranger to the field. In fact, Cenex Ruby Fieldmaster comes with a more complete additive package for a more complete burn. In simpler terms, you get restored power by up to 4.5% and restored fuel economy by up to 5%. Of course, there's always typical number 2 diesel, if you're not into the whole added power thing. Cenex Premium Diesel. Diesel that doesn't mess around.
Your Cenex Ruby Fieldmaster distributor is Elsevia Co-op.
Opinions expressed on AgriTalk do not necessarily reflect the views of Farm Journal Broadcasting, affiliate stations, or sponsors. The truth is hard to come by these days, unless you listen to AgriTalk.
Welcome back to AgriTalk. I'm Chip. Glad you're with us. Monday morning. Cold Monday morning. Some relief before we get to the weekend, but boy, after that, settle in because it's going to get chilly. More than chilly. Okay, we've been waiting for the guidance on the 45Z and the incentives for sustainable aviation fuel, other low-carbon fuel production. And we got some guidance on Friday from the Biden's Treasury Department, but it's lacking. And we need to figure out exactly what we did get and maybe more importantly what we didn't get. And here to help us do that, Donnell Rehagen, CEO of the Clean Fuels Alliance America. Donnell, Happy New Year. Good to talk to you again.
Yeah, Happy New Year to you too, Chip. Good to be on. Thanks.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Excellent. We've been waiting for these details for quite some time. So let's start with this. What do we know? What did we learn from the preliminary guidance that we got on the 45Z?
Well, you know, we received the guidance last Friday afternoon, so there was a lot in there and there was a lot missing in there. So we're still sorting through a little bit of it. But I think the easy takeaways are this administration has started a rulemaking process. So this was not any sort of a final rule on this issue. So there's enough guidance there to allow producers to start figuring out what the next steps are, but certainly not enough for them to feel comfortable that they know what the mid and long term outlook is for our fuels and the demands. And so that's what we're still waiting on, a little bit more guidance. The key missing piece, Chip, was the GREET model, which has been the crux of a lot of the debate on 45Z from the very, very beginning. They still did not provide that on Friday. So we're being told it should be any day now. But without that specificity that's in that GREET model, our producers still really can't calculate the value of the credit.
Okay. Boy, I didn't realize that we were missing that piece.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's a huge chunk of information that we're missing, Donnell.
That is a huge chunk. As I said, it's kind of been the crux of a lot of the debate about 45Z. So we're appreciative that the administration has moved this forward. You know, this tax credit went into effect January 1st, almost 2 weeks ago now. And so our producers have kind of been sitting on the sidelines waiting. Production has been scaled back in lots and lots of cases because nobody really knows the value of the fuel because they don't know the value of this credit. And so we're at least glad that we've gotten some guidance and some clarity, but there's still enough missing pieces and just everybody getting comfortable about whether this guidance is something they can go to the bank with or whether this is just some sort of clarity that's being provided at this point. So our understanding is we can take this for what it's worth, meaning use it until something supersedes it down the road in the forms of a formal rulemaking.
Okay. What are the odds that we're going to get to that formal rulemaking, Donnell? And the reason that I ask that, I think you know why. I mean, we're making the transition from the Biden administration that was very, very focused on these environmental issues to the Trump administration. Now, what are the odds that this survives and we do get the guidance that's required on this?
Well, that's going to be part of our job, you know, to speak out on behalf of the industry and to bring the industry together to make that clear to the Trump administration that this guidance, this rulemaking needs to be finalized and needs to be finalized as soon as possible. And to seek the clarity on the elements that are, you know, still maybe not quite right or not quite clear. You know, I do think, you know, this second Trump administration is going to view us a little differently maybe than the first Trump administration did. Okay. There's been a lot of changes, Chip. I mean, we are producing twice as much fuel as we were 4 years ago. We have a lot of our production is now in the hands of oil and gas refiners who are producing renewable diesel as well. So I think there's been some coming together between the energy producers and the oil and gas industry and our renewable industry. So I think there will be more clarity of an ask, you know, maybe this time around with the Trump administration. But this is a big, big deal. I mean, this 45Z replaces the dollar a gallon tax credit that our industry has had in place for 20 years. So that all got thrown out December 31st, and we're still waiting for a little bit of clarity and hopeful that this rulemaking through the Trump administration will move quickly and not slowly.
So obviously, until we know what the final details are and how the calculation is going to be made, any of these incentives are going to be paid retroactively, correct?
Well, you know, this under 45Z, it's a totally different credit system, so to speak. And so these are credits that are earned against taxes owed versus in the tax, the previous tax credit, the dollar a gallon was more of what I would call a liquid credit. It provided a revenue stream to producers at the point of you know, applying for that credit after the fuel itself was produced. And so that's just another nuance to this 45Z. And again, that makes it more difficult for our fuel producers to figure out what they need to do next. But really the advent of this is looking at the carbon intensity. 45Z is focused on what's the carbon intensity of these fuels that we're giving this credit to. And of course, you know, the carbon intensity of the fuel depends on the carbon intensity of the feedstock that goes into it. And that's, again, where the GREET model becomes very important, because it starts adding a specific value to each and every feedstock so that those calculations can be made on that credit.
Okay. All right. Did we learn anything about UCO, the used cooking oil imports? Was there any guidance regarding that?
There was. And so here's what they've decided at this point is that UCO, imported UCO, will not receive the credit for 45Z. Okay. If you're using that fuel, if you're using that feedstock to make an on-road fuel. So biodiesel, renewable diesel, no tax credit if you're using imported UCO. You can use imported UCO to make sustainable aviation fuel. So I'm guessing what we see happening is that imported UCO starts finding a home more so in the producers who can produce sustainable aviation fuel. And so we'll see where all of that lands. I think that's kind of a spot we're really keeping an eye on to see what impact that has on overall production of our fuels, biodiesel, renewable diesel, and sustainable aviation fuel. You know, this last year, we had about a third of the fuel produced in the United States was made out of an imported feedstock, not just UCO, but out of an imported feedstock. And so that's always been our concern, is how we keep that balance of imported and domestic feedstocks so that the production levels of our industry continue to stay at the level they're at or grow.
Yeah, okay. You know, Donna, we can't lose track of something that I want to get your take on. Yeah. And that is that even though the industry is facing some challenges here, total demand for soybean oil produced here in the United States in the fuel industry is climbing very, very quickly, isn't it?
Absolutely. We're seeing record levels of domestic soybean oil in our feedstocks. We're at a point now where we're using over a billion pounds a month U.S. soybean oil into our fuels. And so we're right now at the same point as far as demand of U.S. soybean oil. The clean fuels industry is demanding about almost the same amount that the food industry is using. So for years and years, the food industry was the major consumer. And so we have grown as soybean production has grown and as soybean crush has grown. Thankfully, our industry has been growing to take and make use of that soybean oil. So that's something we're proud of and want to continue to see that happening.
Yeah, Donnell, it wasn't that long ago. You guys were celebrating getting over 4 billion pounds.
Yeah.
And here we are at 12.
Right. You're exactly right. And we're proud of that. And again, we see a crush expansion underway. We should see the majority of that here over the next 18 to 24 months come online. And that's going to be about another billion gallons worth of feedstock, 900 million gallons worth of feedstock. So we're glad that we're growing as an industry to be able to take on that new production and crush of soybeans.
Yeah, so if the feedstock is needed, so far the refiners can get a hold of it, right?
Yes, okay. Exactly. Yeah, we've been using all the soybean oil that we can find, as well as you know, other feedstocks from around the globe. And I think that's something that we're going to have to get more comfortable with. I'm all for trying to find a balance here. Don't get me wrong. We are a domestic trade association. But as I mentioned, we can't produce at the levels we're at today with just domestic feedstocks if we had access to 100% of all of them, which we don't. And so for our industry to continue to grow and supply the emerging markets of rail and marine and now sustainable aviation fuel, we need more feedstock. So we're glad the soybean crush industry has seen that and has invested. We're grateful for that and looking forward to that. And hopefully there's more behind that.
Yeah, yeah. One thing, and this thought was in my mind as you were making the comment earlier about Trump 1.0 being different than Trump 2.0 regarding your industry that you – it's because of the investment dollars, right? A different group is invested in your industry than – what was there under 1.0, correct?
Well, you know, that's it, but we've seen these new and emerging markets. You know, I mentioned the sustainable aviation fuel industry. Well, that's the airline industry, and so now the airline industry is paying attention, and same thing with rail and marine as well. So lots of opportunity in front of us. Don't get me wrong, I'm excited about 2025.
That's excellent. I feel better, Donnell. Thank you.
All right, Chip. Yeah. Hey, talking to you.
Good to talk to you, too. Donnell Rehagen, CEO of Clean Fuels Alliance America. All right. Stay tuned. Come on back. Davis and I are going to wrap up the first hour of Agri.
Day one. What's in a name? Well, if it's OptiCare, you can expect optimum animal health, optimum performance, and optimum care for your livestock. OptiCare is a complete line of beef, swine, dairy, and specialty products, each designed to treat or prevent common animal health problems, enhance growth, and improve performance. OptiCare, their name says it all. See Jerry Bear and Sons of Arkansas for a complete line of OptiCare products, Hubbard Feeds Incorporated products, and the answers that work.
The Amplify Health Mondovi Clinic is here for all your primary care needs. From annual visits and sports physicals to new or chronic conditions, our compassionate team looks forward to caring for you during all stages of life. For your convenience, we offer on-site lab, same-day appointments, physical therapy, and more services to come. Call the Amplify Health Mondovi Clinic to schedule your appointment at 715-926-1113.
Wisconsin soybean farmers are fueling Wisconsin. In 2021, the value of Wisconsin soybeans was $1.61 billion. That fuels our state's economy, communities, and Wisconsin's future. Wisconsin soybean farmers fuel our state, country, and the world while protecting the land and water. Learn how the Wisconsin Soybean Marketing Board and Wisconsin Soybean Association are working hard to fuel our farms and future. Visit wisconsinsoybean.org.
There are better known tractors in the world than Coyote. Ones with bigger names, longer histories, more popular hats, cute toy lines. But there's not a single tractor ever been built that's better equipped to do the dirty work. So we'll just focus on what really matters. Coyote, we dig dirt.
Dig some dirt with a Coyote tractor now available at Anabus Silo, Highway 25, Durant. Then.
Dr. Sam Ingram, range and pasture field scientist at Corteva AgriScience, joins us right now. Sam, I look at the drought monitor map, and good grief, we've got a lot of dry areas out there. And with this transition in the big weather systems out there, it looks like it might stick around.
Yeah, unfortunately, Chip, that's what I'm looking at too. And for those producers that have had drought-like conditions, it looks like it's only going to persist.
So what have you got at Corteva to help us manage those challenges?
Yeah, so I would say in general, those that are prepared for this don't make a drought last any longer than it has to. So in my space, in the range and pasture space, when we have good growing conditions for our forages, timely rains, we want to capitalize on them. So I think about new herbicides like Novagraze, which is a broad-spectrum herbicide that controls a lot of weeds. I think biennial thistles, buttercup species, ironweed species, but here's the kicker, Chip. It does all that while preserving white clover and annual Lespedisa. Okay. So totally new herbicide, unique to the market.
Okay, timing on application of all this, Sam, because when I look at the timing of a potential drought, we got to get out there and get this stuff treated early, right?
Yeah, you bet. So a lot of these we would actually be putting out in the spring of 2025.
Okay.
So we want to go on, you know, young growing weeds so we can get good control of them. And then we want to capitalize on what I'm hoping for are some good rains in the spring so we can get some of that good growth. When you think about cool season grasses that are intermingled with these white clover and annual Lespediza.
All right, Sam, where can listeners go for more information?
On the NovaGraze, you can go to novagraze.us. And also we have a very talented range and pasture specialist team across the U.S. So reach out to those folks and they can tell you in more detail about it.
Sam Ingram, he is a range and pasture field scientist at Corteva AgriScience.
Help maximize your yield potential and savings with 0% financing on leading fungicides from BASF. You can't beat 0%, especially when you could save big on consistent performing fungicides like Revitec fungicide and Veltima fungicide until March 15, 2025. 0% financing means keeping more in your wallet for better ROI. Talk to your BASF retailer today about the Grower Finance Program. Subject to credit approval, terms and conditions. See BASF Grower Finance Program for details. Always read and follow label directions.
When you're a grower, a land loan is more than money. It's the power to make your fields come alive, to make your farm prosper, to help your operation thrive. That's why FBN Finance gives you more. With experienced loan advisors, often farmers themselves, and great land loan rates shared daily. Don't just borrow money, borrow more at fbn.com/agritalk. Offered by FBN Finance and its lending partners. NMLS ID 1631119. Terms and restrictions apply.
Do you suffer from talking on the radio phobia? No problem. Send us a tweet at #AgriTalk.
Good people, if your train's on time, you can get to work by 9. And if not, you're already late. Go back to bed. You know? You're welcome. Kind of, boss, I can't make it today. Right. Give him a little bit of that. See how you do. Try again tomorrow morning. That's what you do.
Yeah, that's
my advice for today. It's AgriTalk, your pal Davis Michelson here, yakking away with Chip Flory on a Monday morning. Monday the 13th of January.
Right.
Feels like January out there.
Oh, it does. Right. Yeah. It does. Doesn't really look like it. Not up here.
Not where you're at, no.
No.
We had some melting go on here and revealed where the sidewalks, you know, once were.
Yeah.
But we've still once got a fair
were? Are they still there? Or?
They're still there.
Okay,
they're
good.
Still there. Yep. Yep. Good. Yep. Hey, we've got, I got another news story. We didn't get to it earlier in the show. I just want to run this by you. Maybe there's nothing here because, I mean, great conversation, not only on the weather, but also with Donnell Rehagen. We got to get to some of that stuff as well. But the Biden administration has reportedly concluded, that China uses unfair policies and practices to dominate the global maritime logistics and shipbuilding sectors. Investigators concluded that China targeted the shipbuilding and maritime industry for dominance using financial support, barriers for foreign firms, forced technology transfer, and intellectual property theft and procurement policies to give its shipbuilding and maritime industry an advantage. This comes on the heels. Is it a week and a half or so ago we heard plans from the incoming Trump administration? We got to build more ships in the United States. China's got, like, I don't even remember what the numbers are, but seriously, it's like in the 5,000s that China has, Chip. Correct my numbers if I'm wrong. And the U.S. is sitting with, wasn't it like 250 or something like that?
Yep.
We're falling behind in global shipbuilding. And suddenly the Biden administration, in literally the 11th hour, has come to the same conclusion as Mr. Trump. Is there anything to be made of this, buddy, in your mind? This is interesting.
No, this study, I think, has been going on for quite some time. And as long as you've been doing the study, you might as well release what you know.
Okay.
Is what I think is happening here. The Ships Act that has been some legislation that has been introduced, I think is going to get attention in the new Congress. I think it is going to be pushed. It is going to, we're going to be looking for incentives, for financial support, for the U.S. shipbuilders so that we can add to that fleet of 250 or whatever it is. That I think that number's about right. Mm-hmm. Of U.S. made flagged vessels. And that's not even manned, because when you get to the U.S. flagged, U.S. made flagged and manned vessels, the last I knew, that count was like 80. And those are the only boats that can deliver product from one U.S. port to another U.S. port because of the Jones Act.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And the problem with that is we've also got a rule in this country that if you are going to deliver U.S. aid, you know, whether that be it be food or equipment or anything that needs to be transported that the U.S. is giving to another country,
mm-hmm.
it's got to be delivered in or on a U.S.-owned, made, flagged, and manned vessel.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's taking up most of the 80 and leaving very little to use vessels for trade around the U.S. I mean, it's one of the reasons that we rely on the rail system as much as we do.
Take me to the conversation with Donnell Rehagen from Clean Fuels Alliance America. He has us using over 1 billion pounds a month of U.S. soybean oil toward fuel. That's almost the same amount of consumption as the food industry. He said, we've been using all the soybean oil we can find. We can't produce at current levels with just domestic feedstocks.
Right.
And that puts a spotlight on the used cooking oil market, doesn't it?
Certainly does. And the guidance that we got in the 45Z that mm-hmm. the used cooking oil cannot be used for to produce diesel for trucks, for vehicles. Okay, mm-hmm. it's not a road fuel incentive, but it can be used to produce sustainable aviation fuel. The used cooking oil, that and the UCO is eligible for 45Z credits if used in the production of sustainable aviation fuel. And, you know, there's lots of estimates. Lots of estimates of just how big that market might be. But we got to go to USDA Secretary Tom Vilsack. He has made the argument, I think, and he's made the argument very, very clear. He's made it very well that the sustainable aviation fuel market is as big as 30 billion gallons.
Mm-hmm.
30 billion gallons. Well, you know, I've said it before. That's a be careful what you ask for kind of number.
Yeah,
because how do you service that big of a market mm-hmm. with domestic product alone?
Yeah.
I think what they're telling us is you can't.
Mm-hmm.
Now, one thing that I do want is let's make sure that it is used cooking oil and not dirty cooking oil.
Okay.
Or, you know, mismanaged.
There is a difference.
That's exactly right. So let's make sure that it is giving incentive to where it deserves to be given. All right. Hey, thank you for listening, getting the week started with us. Come back this afternoon. We're going to have a conversation with Brian Doherty, Total Farm Marketing, right here on AgriTalk. No doubt you've heard of MetLife, but did you know that MetLife Investment Management has over 100 years of ag lending experience? The MetLife Investment Management team maintains close relationships with its borrowers and can structure a customized loan with flexible terms to meet your financial needs.
Looking to expand, refinance, or recapitalize? Consider MetLife Investment Management. Learn more at MetLife.com/ag.
What's the first thing you do in the morning? For many farmers and ranchers, it's checking weather and market updates. Make AgWeb Daily Newsletter part of your morning routine. Not only bringing you essential news and weather updates, but also covering topics such as smart farming and agriculture's next generation. And each weekday, stay informed and stay ahead with AgWeb Market Weekly. Whether you're at home or in the field, AgWeb Market Weekly keeps you connected and competitive.
Delivered straight to your inbox. Subscribe to both today at agweb.com/newsletters and never miss a beat.
You took the first step and quit smoking, but even former smokers may still be at risk for lung cancer. That's why SaveByTheScan.org wants you to know about a new low-dose CT scan that can detect lung cancer early. It takes only 60 seconds and could save your life. You took the first step, now take the next. Visit SaveByTheScan.org for a simple quiz to see if you're eligible and talk to your doctor about screening. SaveByTheScan.org is brought to you by the American Lung Association's Lung Force Initiative and the Ad Council.
Taxes was waiting around for your taxes to be done, which led to worrying about not getting any money back. Now Taxes is matching with a TurboTax expert who can do your taxes in a day to get you up to $4,000 fast with a refund advance loan. Now this is Taxes, Intuit TurboTax. Get an expert now on TurboTax.com. Expert filing only available with TurboTax Live Full Service. Refund advance has $0 loan fees and 0% APR. Refund advance loans may be issued by First Century Bank, N.A. or Web Bank. Terms apply, subject to approval.
You're listening to WRDN, 1430 AM, Durand, Mondovi, Wabasha, and 107.3 FM at Translator W297CH, Durand.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. Efforts to finalize a Gaza ceasefire and hostage release deal between Israel and Hamas appear to be closer than ever. National Security Advisor Jake Sullivan signaled both the Biden administration and President-elect Trump's transition teams are putting on a united